Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with my good friend Landon Tangwa. Landon, you're back in Happy Valley. Y'all ready for a new semester?
Yeah, man, Jim, we're excited over here. New spring semester, starting off with a bang with about, it seems like 8 inches of snow. So I hope everybody traveling back to State College, if you are, getting back safely and timely for the start of the semester. But, you know, we're ready to hit these books, Jim.
Okay, now you're the one saying it. You're ready to hit the books. I just got to hear this. What does your schedule look like this semester, Landon?
All right, well, I got 5 classes this semester, so I went 3-2, split it up a little bit. And you know, I'm excited though, Jim. You know, we'll schedule around it, and we're gonna have a good time, man. I like to sit front row. As some people know, the academic weapon that started at Penn State. I like to sit front row and converse with my professors and get to know them. So I'm excited. It really is fun. If you do sit down, and people, I think people can attest to this, if you sit down and get to know your professor, and, you know, some of them aren't always the best, but a lot of them are really cool people. And, you know, you get to know them, you build some really cool relationships. So I actually am really excited for that.
Okay. You know where I was headed in this. I wanted to hear, like, you went to, like, one class a day, and I was going to give you a hard time for it. And every old-timer listening to the show would be saying, you know what, Landon? Back in my day, we had 123 classes a semester, and you complained about that 8 inches of snow. Well, we had 30 inches of snow when I was there. And they never canceled class. So
hey, somehow for the older folk, it was always worse. Something was always worse. And I don't know if I always believe you guys. I think you might just be jazzing it up for a little bit of a response and reaction from us.
Well, I will share this with you, though. One of the funniest things people would talk about is when we had the spring thaw, you know, when it hits March and April, there would always be funny things someone would put, and they just found someone who was frozen in parking lot 80, just thawed out, because that's where you had to walk across. Anyway, those were the old days when men were men, Landon. All right, let's move on. I'm sure our listeners didn't tune in to hear me complain about the good old days, but let's move forward. First of all, National Championship Week. We've got Washington playing Michigan coming up. Before we do that, I did just want to check in with you about the playoff games that happened last week. They were two pretty interesting games, Landon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, especially that Alabama game and that muffed punt. I mean, for a second there, I thought Alabama had it. And it was, you know, I watched it. And it's one of those things. The Alabama players, you know, it was kind of a punt safe because he was going to catch it on the five. If the Alabama players, the gunners, the guys that are on the outside when they punt, they kind of started to jog and slow down a little bit around like the 30 and 25. I watched it over. And, you know, then they sped back up when he fumbled it. I think if they would have went full speed down, I mean, and be looking, you know, and get down there, I think they could have either recovered for a safety or a touchdown, whatever, would have ended up winning the game. But, you know, really resilient by the Michigan team. I mean, that's one thing we can say all season. They have been resilient, and they have, a veteran roster. And, you know, through those games, that's kind of what you see. When you have a bunch of old guys who have experience, obviously they played in the playoffs and, you know, have experience playing together for a while now together, I think you're more than likely to come away with those victories in those close games because you're used to each other. They have that experience. They have older guys, and they have really talented players. So, you know, that was really exciting to see. And then obviously everybody was excited for the Texas-Washington, you know, shootout, which was a good one. But Michael Penix continues to kind of just run away with the quarterback play here outside of Jaden Daniels, obviously winning the Heisman. But Michael Penix has been really impressive. So I'm excited to see him go up against the Michigan defense. I don't really think he's faced anything like that. So, you know, it should be interesting. And especially that Washington offensive line hasn't faced anything like this Michigan defensive line. I mean, I think that's probably the best defensive line in college football outside of our guys here at Penn State.
Well, I'm anxious to see this, but just a small piece of advice to you here, Landon. When you're talking to someone over 60 years old, do not talk about college players being old. They are not, okay? Older, fine. Experienced, fine.
Jim, we're seeing some eighth year guys, some eighth year waivers get accepted. So I don't know. I think we might have a couple 25 plus year olds in the NCAA right now. So I don't know.
Well, that's what we always joked about Sean Clifford with his, will he come back for his 13th season? Mm. But anyway, it's interesting in talking about the playoffs, and they were a couple games, a couple questions I did have for you. What did you think of that last play from Alabama? A lot of heat on the center for the snap being a little bit low. What did you think about that call?
Yeah, it was interesting. And a lot of people said that it was, you know, it wasn't a direct snap, it was RPO, and that because the, you know, the fumble snap, it kind of threw off the timing. You know, I don't mind the call. Honestly, it was kind of there. If he would have followed the guard was pulling up in the hole and had, you know, had one safety over the top to block. But he kind of, the fumble made him cut it inside, and it, you know, they stuffed him. You know, it's hard in those situations. And the center took off right to Ohio State. If anybody didn't know, he entered the transfer portal and then headed right to Ohio State. So he's the new center for Ohio State, and he's a very legit center. He'll play in the NFL in a year or two. But you know, that's it hurts, and that, I think that's hard to be around, being at, you know, as Seth, the center, kind of knowing it's almost your fault. You know, you try, you know, when something happens, a kicker misses a, you know, a field goal, or, you know, a pick from the quarterback, you know, you try to lift them up, and, you know, but at the end of the day, they kind of know it's their fault. And, you know, you're going to go, you know, back home and lay with that, your thoughts at night, and realize, you know, you lost your team, all, you know, millions of fans, a chance at a national championship and things like that. And so that hurts, you know, that's definitely hard on a player. But, you know, as far as the play itself, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, Milroe, he's a running quarterback. I think you put it in his hands there and let him take it. But unfortunately, you know, you gotta do the little things right. And, you know, those can't take for granted a good snap, good clean snap there. And you got to get those little things corrected.
Well, let's go forward now. It's Washington versus Michigan. First of all, from a fan standpoint, from my standpoint, it's nice to not see Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia in the championship game. It's a couple different teams. Now, I know there are Penn State fans who are just anybody but Michigan, you know, but it's a fascinating matchup, and you already alluded to it. Michael Penix against that Michigan defense, that's going to be fun to watch. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I'm really excited. And like you said, I mean, kid, you know, my kids, especially my age, all I remember is really just Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, you know, Ohio State in the playoffs, and that's it. So it is really refreshing to see a couple of teams get in there that haven't been in there yet. But no, I mean, these are two of the best teams. I think 100%. I think sometimes you can get to the college football playoff and the final, and, you know, in the championship, and you might say, hey, you know, I don't know, did some team get left out that should have been here? You know, you don't know. I think without a doubt, these are the two best teams. You know, I'm really excited, as you mentioned, to see Penix go up against this Michigan defense. Like I said, I don't think Washington has seen a defense, you know, like Michigan. It's a completely different style of play, you know, out there in the Pac-12 with them just slinging it. And now you're coming to a Big Ten defense, you know, is built to stop the run and just be nasty. So it should be interesting to see how Michael Penix fares against them. And then on the flip side, you know, I don't think Washington has seen an offensive line like Michigan either. Yeah, I don't want to hype up Michigan too much. And I know it is kind of, you know, everybody versus Michigan, especially with everything that kind of went on this year. But I mean, those are some bad dudes up front for Michigan. And then obviously Blake Corum back there and JJ McCarthy, you know, really talented guys they got there in the backfield. So, you know, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think this is going to be much better than the past couple years. Obviously, we've had a couple blowouts even in the championship game. So I think I speak for the rest of the fans around when I say, you know, I'm just excited for a good game, and I want it to come down to the final play.
Well, that I'm with you on that. I don't have a particular anti-Michigan feeling going in. And I think in some ways Michigan gets underrated, and I think they are well coached. What I found fascinating when they played Penn State, and Penn State showed the quarterback for Michigan was not going to get much time. No matter how good that offensive line was, Penn State was going to get to him. Michigan said, you know what? We're not going to fight that. We'll just run the ball the rest of the game. They adjusted in game to what they were up against. I give them a lot of credit for that. And even having a quarterback, you know, JJ McCarthy, who could sling the ball around a bit, but he seemed perfectly fine and content. It's like, this is what's needed to win the game, that's where you go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's definitely also signs of, as I mentioned earlier, a mature team, who knows what their team's about, what they were built on. And as you mentioned, not only doing that, you know, adapting in game against a really good Penn State team, but also without their head coach, obviously, that's just kind of talks to the organization from the top down. They're really well coached. They have a lot of guys, obviously Sharon Moore, their offensive line, offensive coordinator coach, I'm sure is going to get a job somewhere very shortly or stay at Michigan. But then, you know, they also, I wanted to get into, there's also talks about, Harbaugh, is he going to be done if he wins the national championship? And, you know, personally me, going to get in some more trouble, I would assume. They've talked about it. There might be something. And, he might just want to get out of there and get back to the NFL. I mean, he's shown he can get to a Super Bowl. You know, you put together a playoff run last year, three Big Ten championships, and then, win a national championship. I'd say, Jim, I think any NFL team, barring some coaches, would be really happy to have him, especially some struggling with head coaches right now.
Well, I'm with you on that. Especially if he wins, do you just say, you know what, that's enough. There's so much trouble following me around here. Why not just move on, get to the next opportunity, and go from there?
Yeah.
I did also want to ask you about this in the last minute that we have here in this segment. You have friends on Michigan. So how does that affect how you watch the game? Are you're rooting for your buddies, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some Penn State fans probably don't want to hear this, but I am. I got two really good friends, high school teammates that are on Michigan. So I am kind of rooting for them because you want guys you grew up with, played high school ball with. You'd love to see them win a national championship. I mean, that's really cool. And I've shared some really cool experiences with them and Blake Corum, Chris Jenkins, those guys. I've known them for a while, and they're both two huge studs on that Michigan roster. I'm just excited to see them shine out there. And it is, we always talk about, we don't want this team to win and this and that, but it is really cool when you know someone and you can get to see them succeed at the highest level, kind of put everything else aside and just kind of root them on and just really be excited for them in their future.
You know, I would think that Michigan has the advantage in this game, but it just seems to me like Michael Penix and Washington has just that little piece of magic going on for them. You know, it was both times they played Oregon this year, I was thinking, well, Oregon is probably the better team. But you know what? There's a little bit of magic with Michael Penix. So I hope he has one more game of magic, at least to keep it a good competitive game. All right, Landon, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to go. Stick with us. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show with Landon Tengwall. I am Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State football. And you know what, Landon? It has been kind of quiet, or it had been quiet, with the transfer portal and Penn State. We finally got some excitement, and we got some big names coming back to Pennsylvania and Penn State specifically. Let's start with Julian Fleming. A couple years ago, huge name, number one player in Pennsylvania, one of the top players in the country. As I always mentioned, from down the road from me at Southern Columbia, he chose the Buckeyes ahead of Penn State. He's home. Just how much does this change the wide receiver room for the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot, Jim. Julian Fleming obviously is a elite talent. Obviously, weren't able to get him the first time, but you know, yeah, you fall down, you get back up, you try again, and James Franklin succeeded, man. He brought him home. And, you know, that's all that matters in the end. So, you know, I think everybody knows the Penn State fans felt some type of way that he didn't want to come here originally. But I think we're ready to welcome him with open arms and get him back here, get this wide receiver room, really looking elite again. And then, you know, I think we'll continue to look around for maybe if there's one other wide receiver that, you know, comes in the portal. There are going to be a lot of guys that want to enter the portal here in the next couple days, would not be a spring semester transfer. But sometimes you get those summer guys like Dante Cephas. He wasn't practicing with us in the spring, but still came in the summertime. So there's still that possibility to maybe add one more piece there. But, you know, I think a really good pickup there, for Coach Marcus Higgins and Coach Franklin.
Tell me about the fact he seems like a much bigger body than we've seen among the receivers, you know, where we seem to have slot receivers. Julian, he's a big body. This is also a guy who's a good blocking wide receiver, too. How important are those things? Big body, yeah, and able to block.
Yeah, really important, especially in offense where, you know, we run the ball a lot here. That's not a secret. But, throw it up. Let him go make a play for Drew, that type of thing. We saw it a couple of times from Dante. But, you know, you want to be able to have that Allen Robinson, that threat where you can put it up top and he's going to go up and, you know, make a play for you every once in a while. I think we've been missing that a little bit since Parker Washington, since John Dotson left, where you have those guys that are just going to make those wow plays. You just kind of need that spark plug again at the wide receiver position. So, yeah, I think all in Nittany Nation is excited and hoping that Julian Fleming is that spark plug.
We saw what a big-bodied wide receiver who could go make plays can do for you in the Peach Bowl for Ole Miss. Yes, Penn State fans would love to see that. The other familiar name that they brought back, a Pennsylvania kid, a legacy even, and that's Nolan Rucci, who a few years back, he was the number one player in the state of Pennsylvania. He chose to go to Wisconsin. He's now coming back. He's going to be on the Penn State roster. How much do you know Nolan Rucci, and what are they getting with him?
Yeah, I knew Nolan when we were getting recruited together. We were in the same class, and he's a really good guy. Obviously his dad played here, his brother played at Wisconsin, and I think that was part of the reason that he wanted to go to Wisconsin. And, you know, for me, and you know, talking to other guys around, the opportunity to play college football with a brother is like any other. So, you know, I can't blame him too much for wanting to go up there to Wisconsin, but now it's time for him to come home and help out the good guys. So he really is. He's a talented guy. He's a long body. He's about 300 pounds, but he's 6'8". So he has a big frame, can put some more weight on for sure. And I know, Chuck Losey and the staff are definitely going to get right on that. But, you know, a guy that can come in right away, compete, and, you know, if not start, you know, add to the great depth that we have here at Penn State on the offensive line. I think Coach Trout is continuing to do a great job of, you know, adding key pieces, adding guys that can compete. And when you got guys competing, it creates a lot of depth because you got guys that can play and you got guys that, you know, maybe should be playing, but, you know, they have to be on a bench just because they got beat out. But injuries happen over a season, especially on an offensive line. There's a lot of wear and tear. So adding really good depth to that offensive line, hats off to Coach Franklin and Coach Trout for securing Nolan Rucci away from Wisconsin.
Well, I think that depth portion of it, Landon, is so important. And you and I were talking about this previously, not 23 season, but the 22 season. There were oftentimes three starters and even more out for a specific game. You're not going to start and finish with the same starting five on the offensive line. The hope is that he'll come in and be able to play right away. But even if it's just providing experience depth, that's important too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's really important to really at all positions to have that depth. And that's one thing I've talked about before with Coach Franklin, trying to get guys reps earlier in the season. So, you know, maybe they won't play at the beginning of Big Ten play, but now you come back and it's, you know, Ohio State late in the season and you have a couple injuries at linebacker or O-line or wide receiver. And, you know, you gave those guys some reps in those earlier games. So now you have some trust in them. You've built those reps in with the starting quarterback or whatever, with the starting offense, starting defense. So you have a little bit more more confidence in that player. But I, from my understanding and what I've, you know, talking to other people, I've never seen any other head coach emphasize depth as much as Coach Franklin. And I think we see that with how many guys play, you know, throughout a season.
Speaking of depth, the one other position that could really use some help, and it's not a statement on the guys that are still there, but on a statement about the guys who are leaving, which is the cornerback position. We as Penn State fans, we got so spoiled. You have Kalen King, Johnny Dixon, Daquan Hardy as your three cornerbacks. That's fantastic. The downside is all three of them leaving, Landon. I don't care how good the next guys are. You need more bodies, more depth back there.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's one of those situations when you got, you know, three studs. It's amazing, like you said, it's amazing when they're here, and then when they all leave in a moment's notice, it definitely hurts. And especially a guy like Daquan Hardy, where it's hard to find a really good nickel cornerback. And even putting aside Kalen King and Johnny Dixon, who have been absolutely locked down, that nickel position is not easy to play. And we saw Daquan Hardy make some amazing plays this season. I know he's one of the favorites on our show here. Me and Jim love us Daquan Hardy, so we got to give a little extra shout out. But, you know, it's hard, and, you know, you're going to have to count on a lot of young guys, as well as obviously looking in the transfer portal. There's been a couple different targets come on visits up here to Penn State, some talented guys. So, you know, that's definitely a position I think they'll look to at least add one guy out in the portal, I'm sure, just get some older depth in there. But there's some really talented young guys. I mean, you saw Cam Miller battling his butt off in that bowl game, going against some really good wide receivers in his first start. You know, Zion Tracy, you know, these are really young, athletic, talented guys. So, I'm excited for their future. And then obviously you got a whole nother offseason, a whole spring ball, 15 practices. I think sometimes it's underestimated how much, you know, that development can lead to a really good season for a player. So I'm excited to see what some of those guys do over this this offseason, how they're looking coming into camp.
Well, one of the things, just one last note on that Penn State Ole Miss Peach Bowl game. You mentioned Cam Miller, you know, really battling. He was up against, and maybe this isn't the fair way to put it, I think that receiver from Ole Miss had a better game against Penn State than Marvin Harrison did, okay? He was spectacular, and the quarterback was spectacular. So that combination, I'm not sure the discussion should be about how poorly Cam Miller played. I think it should be about how well the Ole Miss quarterback and receiver played.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, there was times, and even the announcer had something to say. I don't know if anybody caught on to that, but there was a couple times the announcer threw out so Kobe King, he missed a tackle, and he said, you know, the running, Judah Jenkins had Kobe King's on his knees like it was pregame chapel. I'm sitting there laughing. I'm like, man, I'm mad because they just got to play. But I'm like, we got Lewis Riddick, you know, roasting our players over here. But, you know, it's one of those, like I said, when you're a young guy in a big game like that, it's hard. And I do think Cam Miller, you know, he had some plays, he had some deflections and a couple of different stops. But, you know, it's hard when you're getting attacked like that as a young player. But honestly, I think it builds a lot of character. I think that's going to put a chip on his shoulder, you know, headed into next season. So, like I said, I'm excited to see these young guys in the DB room, you know, also led by, Jalen Reed and Kevin Winston in the back end. So I think that's really going to help having two, without a doubt, NFL safeties back there, similar to when we had Jaquan Brisker and Jair Brown back there. You know, real two talented safeties, is it's not easy to go against. So it's nice when you got two ball hawks back there.
Well, the couple cornerbacks that have been mentioned and have visited Penn State are Tony Grimes and A.J. Harris. Now, maybe by the time folks listen to this show, they may have committed either to Penn State or somewhere else. But do you know anything about either one of those players?
Yeah, I was really familiar with Tony Grimes. He's from around my area, and he actually, remember, he was in my class, and it was COVID year, and he reclassified into the 2020 class. So he actually skipped a year of high school and started playing for UNC in North Carolina. Ended up, you know, going to A&M. But I think, you know, we were in that mix. It was us, A&M, and maybe one other school when he left North Carolina. Went to A&M, obviously had some success there, but now leaving. And so, it leads me to believe that we have to be, you know, if not one, two on his list. Coach Franklin and the guys, Coach Poindexter, all them, you know, Coach Coach Terry Smith. I'm sure they're making a good push on those guys. So, like I said, I think it's definitely important we bring in at least one older guy to kind of round out that group with a bunch of young guys.
And finally, I think some underrated, not commitments, but guys coming back, Akeem Beeman and Devon Ellis both have said they are going to come back. I think sometimes playing defensive tackle could be a thankless position, but how important were those recommitments?
I think that was huge. I mean, getting 2 6-year D tackles back, you know, that can anchor your middle. You know, still obviously got Zane Duran in there who played a lot of time, but you know, you lose those two guys and then you're looking at, okay, now we kind of got to dig in a little bit and have some really young D tackles that maybe aren't ready yet to hop in there. Cause I mean, you got to have 4 guys in a rotation for a game to D tackle, maybe even 5. And now you add 2 6-year guys back. And, you know, real quick, I love Devon Elise, but Hakeem Beeman, and you ask any players, is one of the most talented guys, you know, on that field. And he has amazing hands, really explosive, just hasn't had as much productivity as honestly anybody in the locker room has thought. He's one of the most talented guys, hardworking guys. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do with this 6-year. You know, I think he's coming back also with a chip on his shoulder. And, you know, I just think it's awesome for Penn State to sew up that middle of that defense with two veteran D tackles.
Again, experience and depth, two of the things that you talked about earlier, so important, especially how they rotate players along the defensive line. So big help for Tom Allen going into next season. All right, Landon, we've got lots more to go. Please stick with us. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We are talking not just Penn State football, but college football here. Landon, the last couple weeks with so much going on in the transfer portal, we had the opt-outs, a lot of discussion about NIL. I wanted to get things from your perspective, from a player's perspective about what's going on. And the first question I've asked this of other co-hosts on our show is, fans say the process is broken. Is it? Is it really broken?
I mean, if you want to talk about traditional college football, you know, I would say, you know, I guess it is. I, you know, it's essentially, is it really, is it professionalism now? I mean, you're getting paid, some guys are getting paid millions of dollars. I would consider that, you know, your profession, and, you know, no longer just kind of a collegiate sport. I mean, it's a profession. And I think it does kind of change the landscape. I mean, you put some of those old coaches, you know, Joe Paterno and those guys in today's day and age, I don't know if they're having a good time with this NIL era. I mean, it is completely different. So no, it's a new world though. I mean, it's the recruiting is completely different. It's all, you know, for the most part, money based. And now a lot of teams can, you know, maybe instead of hide behind the fact they have a lot of money and maybe they're not as good as recruiting, but now, you know, it doesn't really matter as much if you're able to fork over, hey, we got $500,000 for you. Well, you know, maybe I wanted to go. I was thinking about going somewhere else, but they're only offering me $100,000. You know, anybody's taking the $400,000 more, you know, going to another school. So, you know, it is one of those things that's a lot easier to steal players from schools. You know, it's free agency every single offseason. You know, we saw something similar that with Judkins from Ole Miss, who played, you know, he just finished his second year. Both years had fantastic years. Looks like he's going to be an NFL running back. Coming, you know, Ole Miss has picked up some really talented guys in the portal. Walter Nolan was a number one D tackle in the nation a couple years ago. And Judkins out of thin air just leaves after Ole Miss is probably going to be ranked, you know, 6-7 somewhere in there. going in next season with a high-powered offense, and he just leaves. And, you know, I don't think, you know, back in the day, a running back has two great seasons. He's coming back for his third with that same team, especially, you know, with the team Ole Miss has. So I just think it's so bizarre, and it does kind of ruin, you know, some of that – just what college football used to be, where it was just this natural, you know, just team bonding, guys stuck together. You stayed on your team unless it was some, you know, extraordinary out there problem you had, maybe a quarterback that deserved to start somewhere else. But, you know, 5-10 years ago, you weren't leaving your team. You're staying on your team. And now, like I said, it's free agency every offseason for every single player. So I do think it's a completely different world of college football. So I think we have lost some of that tradition. But, you know, to say is that good or bad, you know, I do think it's really good. And obviously coming from a player standpoint, it is really nice that these guys are getting paid now. Because, you know, I will tell you, there's some guys that, you know, are now able to help their families out, you know, truly. And I think I've heard stories of guys, you know, we always got stipends. So, you know, college football players always get, you know, $1,500, maybe something like that, you know, nothing insane. But, you know, so a lot of guys are sending that money home. They were sending that money back to the, you know, their families, helping get food, rent, that type of thing. I've heard of so many situations like that. So now these guys are able, you know, maybe a guy that not going to play in the NFL, but he was able to rack up, you know, close to maybe $750K, $1 million, you know, playing college football. I mean, that completely still changes lives. So, you know, you talk of it from a standpoint of, you know, you were so happy for these guys. You know, we finally see them in the NFL and we hear, you know, their stories about their struggles and things of that nature. You know, you almost have to bring it back and say, hey, look, you know, we're almost doing that now when guys are signing to college football programs. You know, granted, there are some people that may not use the money as smartly or candidly as others will. But, you know, there is that side to it that, you know, you're still helping, you know, a young man, you know, if the money is using correctly, create, you know, wealth for him for the rest of his life. So I think that point of it is definitely, you know, underrepresented in the fact of, you know, just now we got football players instead of maybe them falling off and, you know, it's hard for them to find a job. Well, now you got a couple $100,000 in the bank to invest and get into business and things of that nature. And I think it's a good thing in the world of college football, but it's definitely different, Jim.
It is different. And I would argue, I know it's not like that way it was in my day, Landon, remember that. But I actually don't have a problem with a player making a couple $100,000 when you have coaches making millions of dollars and you have billion-dollar television contracts. I don't really have a problem with that. What I now wonder about is this now become a question of strategy and that the different schools have and how you spend your money, how you allocate it? We've already seen Texas A&M spend a lot of money. That didn't necessarily work there, Landon. We're now seeing Ole Miss. We saw they have a pretty good team already. They're bringing in a lot of talent. They're spending good money on that talent to bring in. But here's now one of their own who's looking at it like, hey, wait a minute. You're giving money to the outside guys to come in. What about me? And I actually read somewhere, I don't know if it was a rep from the Ole Miss Collective or where, the statement was pretty much to the effect, well, running back is not where you invest your money. It sounded like an NFL comment. So you now start to wonder, what is the right strategy? What is the right NIL strategy, Landon?
Yeah, you know, I think in that's one thing that coaches are looking around and trying to almost steal from everybody else. It's what are you doing? You know, what are those guys doing in NIL? How are they succeeding? You know, who's doing what? And, you know, I think also when you look at it from a standpoint of Jenkins, the running back from Ole Miss, you know, a lot of guys came in, a lot of guys were paid a lot of money, and there were rumors that he wanted a little bit more. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that he wanted to leave, which, you know, that's one of, like you mentioned, do you want to pay a running back $1 million even if he's a stud and, you know, a top three running back in all of college football? Can you pay him that $1 million, or would you rather, you know, put that into a couple offensive linemen and a D tackle? And, you know, and I think the way that you fix this and kind of bring this back and still while still paying the players is a salary cap. I think eventually it's going to move in-house, which it's already been approved by the NCAA for collectives to move in-house, which will then create a lot more funding. It'll be, you know, they'll probably be able to spend some school funding and just get that into the football teams, which will then create a lot more money for the collectives. But I think then once you put a salary cap on that, it starts to look like the NFL, where certain positions are just making this amount of money, you know. And I think, you know, as you go on, it'll, you know, certain quarterbacks and running and wide receivers and whatever, they'll keep setting a new mark, just like they do in the NFL. I mean, every year we hear about a new quarterback getting a new record-breaking deal. But I really, you know, I think if you want to look at it and say, how can we fix this? I think that's the easiest way to do that, where it's not, hey, you know, it's not free agency every year now just because I can get another $500,000 over at this school. You know, you start to put those, you know, those cap hits on certain positions and everybody's kind of doing the same thing. Then it's, all right, I'll make the same thing at this school next to me. You know, why not stay? So you're kind of back in, you know, where you were before the money. Obviously, you still have the money involved. But that's where I kind of see college football going, just kind of standpoint to just keep it pure. I think right now there's no way the NCAA is happy with what's going on. It's really kind of a whole mess, and it's their fault for kind of just allowing this to happen. I mean, they opened it up, and I don't think they realized what they were opening the floodgates up to.
Well, my question in that scenario, though, is how do you police NIL money to put in a salary cap? If you're Caleb Williams and a Heisman Trophy winner, and Nissan is willing to give you millions of dollars to be part of their Heisman House campaign, can you tell him, no, you can't do that? You're making too much money?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's still on the outside. You know, on the outside, you can take any deals you want. You know, you and your agents can work on any deals you want, but that's, you know, that's completely separate. So, you know, that's aside. And that's kind of how Coach Franklin has talked about it in the past. That's how, you know, Penn State works here. Everybody gets something, and then, you know, you're able to go out on your own and get whatever you can. You know, we're happy for you. Whatever you can get it. So I think it's kind of similar to that formula where everybody's still going to have, you know, there's going to be salaries, there's going to be positions that, you know, make X amount, and it's, you know, it's going to be kind of specified. And I just, you know, I just see that working out just much more smoothly. Like I said, I don't think the NCAA is happy with the product that they've created with this transfer portal and NIL. But I think you pay them the salaries and then say, hey, whatever you can get after that, you can get. That's between you and your NIL agent and your family, and, you know, handle that. But, you know, we're going to pay you this salary. But I think you're right. I think it can still get messy, because then there's boosters that have businesses, and, you know, they can say, hey, you know, we're going to add this on too. So I think you'll start to see that. That's why I think we need to get back to having some more rules. Right now, there's really no rules in NIL. I don't even know if it's possible to break any protocol at this point, because there's literally no rules. So
you're right. There aren't any rules. And even the rules they have, they're not doing anything to enforce. Because the primary rules that they had from the NCAA is you could not use NIL money to entice a player to come to your university, or out of high school, or from the portal. Well, that's what's happening, and it's so out in the open. I mentioned to you, you know, this article from The Athletic where these high school players are saying, yeah, this school said I'll get, you know, $300,000 a year, this school. Obviously, that money is only if you come to our school. So that's as blatant a violation of what rule that they did have. So I guess, you know, partly I'm asking is this really the disaster that some people are painting it as, when where is the example of the school that is manipulating the situation and dominating the sport? I could argue that this past season was probably as balanced a national championship chase as we've had in years. We have a championship game that's coming up with no Alabama, no Georgia, no Ohio State, no Clemson. Actually, Landon, this feels like more parity. So is there really a problem with the portal and NIL?
Yeah, I guess it really all depends how you spin it. I mean, if you're a traditionalist and you want, you know, the old school college football back, where the guys are back living in dorms and, you know, no more penthouses and no more Rolls Royces and things of that nature. If you're not a, I don't mean to paint it like that. I'm setting all the players up. But you know, if you don't want any of that, then you know, maybe put that in the past. But you know, I think you're right. I think it's good for college football. I think this was going to happen eventually, and I think the players, it's long overdue. And they got to give Reggie Bush his Heisman back. That's my fine. If someone's making this $1 million, you know, $5 million, Reggie Bush needs his Heisman back. That's all I got to say, Jim.
All right, we'll start the Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back campaign. Meantime, we've got another quarter to go. Stick with us. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. Landon, we've been talking a bit about the NIL transfer portal, and one of my arguments on all this is I'm wondering if people are getting alarmed. I don't want to say over nothing, but things are just different. Not necessarily worse, just different. Because, oh, what about teams? They'll spend money to buy a team. Well, what do you think Alabama and Ohio State were doing all along? I'm not saying they were paying players. No, I know that could be misinterpreted, but the money went to facilities and all of that. Oregon with their wonderful locker rooms and using Nike money to make it like a resort, you know, the water slides in at Clemson. People were spending more money in just in different ways. They were spending it on their coaching staff. Well, now some of that same money is just going to players, and I have zero problem with that. And the other thing is there a right strategy in how you allocate money? So Texas A&M, we saw what went on with them. Maybe as a starting point here, Landon, talk about Penn State. Very few guys hit the portal. It's very selective who they bring in on the portal. That's a different formula than what you're seeing from some other teams. Might that be the better route to take?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Coach Franklin has done a fantastic job navigating NIL. You know, as you mentioned, we've seen some of those other teams just throw a bunch of money at a bunch of players, and it doesn't work out well. So, I think first, and you talk about the strategy, you have to have a strong core first. You have to have a good program with a good foundation, strong core values for the team, a good coach. Because if you just have a coach and a bunch of money and a bunch of guys who are talented, but they're not playing for each other. They're just there because they were offered $1 million. You know, it's all whatever. I'm just here to get my money. And that was, you know, kind of what came out of Texas A&M and the U a couple years ago when they had a ton of money coming in. I just don't think that works out. I think the formula is, you know, you still recruit your guys, you still grow your guys, train them up from within, and then you go out and you spend a little cash getting a couple guys just complimenting your team. You know, go out and say, all right, what are our top needs, you know, head into next season? Well, now we can, you know, go into the portal, dip in the portal, grab a wide receiver here, grab a DB here, you know, whatever you need. And I think also, you know, going back to your point of, you know, is this right? Is, you know, some fans have some problems with it, but Jim Harbaugh actually came out, I don't know if you saw, that his presser at the national championship, he came out and basically said, players need to get paid more money. They, you know, the coaches have been making a ton of money for a long time. I don't know if this was his parting gift to the NCAA because they haven't been exactly the best of buds, but it seemed like, you know, if he is on his way out, that'd be something funny to drop it. You know, you guys need to pay players more coming from the national championship winning head coach. Rightfully so, deserving for the players. And like you said, that money was going to football in some way. And I think when you frame it like that to fans out there, instead of just, hey, this guy's making $500,000 and he's 18 years old. It's, hey, instead of this $500,000 going into another, you know, brand new weight room that we just upgraded 5 years ago, now it's going to this kid who, you know, is, you know, he needs it, his family needs it, whatever it may be. You're completely changing his life for the future. And, you know, I think that's something, like I said, that we're underestimating is now you have the ability as fans to change these guys' futures that aren't necessarily going to go to the NFL. Now you have that ability to come out of college. I mean, imagine come out of anybody listen to this, coming out of college debt-free with, say, you know, $200,000, $300,000 in your bank account with a degree from that university. I mean, that you're setting your guys up for success. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just money in the bank, opportunities to invest that, you know, I think a lot of people aren't talking about that side. And I would assume most fans for universities want, you know, their players to succeed down the road, not only in the NFL, but, you know, just in life too, in being a dad and having a family, you know, having kids. That's something that Coach Franklin talks a lot about. You know, it's not, the emphasis isn't always on football. It's not always on the NFL. It's, you know, hey, we want you to be, you know, a good man, give you good core values. And I think that's why he is such a molder of men and a, you know, strong leader, because everybody just respects him and, you know, understands what he's about. And, you know, he does such a good job helping us understand there's, you know, there's more than football. And, you know, I want the fans to understand that this money is affecting these players' lives, you know, drastically. And I think sometimes it ruffles their feathers when they see, you know, Shedeur Sanders with a $100,000 watch while he's playing a football game. But, you know, that's the anomaly. It's a lot of guys, you know, making a couple thousand dollars over the year. That's, you know, completely just changing the course of their life down the road. So it kind of gets me excited that these guys that don't have a shot at the NFL are now set up and put in such a better opportunity when they're leaving college with their degree, with money in the bank now.
Well, I think that's the real important point. I'm glad you brought that up, Landon. And if you have situations where players, they're choosing to come back for a fifth year and maybe sometimes even a sixth year, they may not be NFL round one, round two, round three, or maybe even draftable players. They may not ever get a dime from the NFL. What is wrong with them making a little bit of money for their career playing football? And the fact is, the stars, we hear the stories about, oh, will Ohio State come up with $15, $20 million to keep Marvin Harrison? Forget that. What about the guy who makes $75,000 and, you know, gets to put it in the bank or maybe take care of his family a little bit? And it may even cause some players to come back for an extra year of school who might not otherwise do that, Landon, and get their degree or maybe even an advanced degree.
Yeah, I think it's good. Look, and, you know, there's a lot of people hating on the sixth, seventh year thing, and it has gotten a little bit egregious in some situations. But as you mentioned, not only the ability, you know, to come back and, you know, play another year, but like you said, advanced, you know, maybe even get a master's degree. I know a lot of guys on the Penn State team have the ability to do that with the extra year. A lot of master programs are 2 years. So that's, you know, that's another thing. And I, you know, I want these fans to be excited for these guys that they have this opportunity now. You know, look at a guy like Devon Elise, Akeem Beeman, able to come back for another year. And, you know, if, you know, maybe they weren't ready to enter the draft, didn't, you know, exactly like what they were hearing from the scouts. And now they have opportunity to come back and say, hey, I'm a veteran guy. I can impact this program. One of Devon Elise could easily be a captain on this team too. So, I mean, those are high value guys to James Franklin in this program. So to be able to get them back is huge. In a world where, you know, in other situations, maybe the guy wasn't going to make it to the NFL, like you mentioned, wasn't going to be able to make any money. Now they're able to come back, make a good chunk of money, play another year, get some more education, you know, still get to be a kid for another year. I think anybody out there listening, if you had the option, Jim, to go back to college for another year and make some money, I mean, advanced degree too, I think you're jumping in line, man. You're jumping in line.
Exactly. And the unfortunate thing is that's not the part that's talked about. It's the guy who makes the $5 million, the guy who's driving the, you know, great sports car, a couple hundred thousand dollars for the car or the truck, and not the guy who just is able to make a couple dollars, able to help his family. In fact, and you know, what you just described with these two defensive tackles coming back, this is exactly what is right about the situation. They're both, what is it, their fifth or sixth year at Penn State. That's stability, Landon. Mm. They may not get an NFL opportunity, but maybe stay in this extra year. Maybe they will if their prospect isn't great right now. So they make money and maybe improve their chance for the NFL. Give me the downside to that.
You're absolutely right, Jim. I mean, you look at a guy, Sean Clifford, came back for his sixth year. You know, I don't know after his fifth year if he'll get drafted, you know, in the fifth round by the Packers like he did. I mean, came back, had a stellar year, you know, Rose Bowl MVP, and, you know, did everything he wanted to do and, you know, had the opportunity to go to the NFL. And then, you know, same situation there. Like you said, they have a ton of opportunity coming back and, you know, really, really no downside to coming back. And then on the flip side, Penn State fans, James Franklin, we get two starting defensive tackles back that are big time. I mean, that would have been, you know, losing, if you lose both of those guys, that defensive tackle position then turns into a weakness and you have to figure out, you're going to have to fill that some way, bring some young guys up to speed. Like I mentioned, I mean, you're going to have four or five guys in the rotation for a game. Well, now you bring two guys back and it's, whoa, we got some depth now. We got some old guys. We can rotate more. A lot of talented guys. So it kind of excites me as a Penn State football fan, you know, getting two really talented defensive players back for that middle of the defense too.
All right, Landon, we've got just a couple minutes left. Let's turn to the NFL. Let's turn to it. You and I, our teams, the Steelers, the Eagles, a lot of question marks over the end of the season. But the playoffs are coming up. Who do you got, my friend? Who are going to be the Super Bowl teams?
You know me, I'm a diehard Steelers fan. As we sit here, it's noon on Sunday as we're recording this. So don't know if the Steelers are getting in. We need a win. We got the win yesterday. We need some help from the Titans and maybe the Jags. We need the Jags to drop one. But you know, I think I got to go with the 49ers, Jim. I'll tell you that roster with that offensive line. Their defensive line, their whole defense. I mean, they got one of the best middle linebackers in football with Fred Warner. You know, I find it hard them dropping a game in the playoffs. You know, and I don't know. The Eagles, I would have thought the Eagles might take them out, Jim. I know that's your squad. But, you know, they dropped three of the last four. I can't talk too much trash because we lost to the Cardinals too. So, you know, I can't talk too much. But, you know, I think I got the 49ers winning it all and Brock Purdy. Obviously, a really cool story with him being a Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the NFL draft a couple years back. And, you know, I think that can show also what you know, a fantastic roster with a young, you know, quarterback can do. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say too many people would have said Brock Purdy was crazy talented, but he's, you know, game manager, handles the ball, gets, you know, his really talented guys, Debo Samuel, CMC, Brandon Ayuk, all those guys the ball. And, you know, he just lets it spin and he plays with confidence. So I'm excited to see this 49ers team continue to play in this playoffs.
You know, my head says the 49ers. My heart wants the Eagles to be back playing the way they did early in the year. A month ago, this would have been an easy call for me. But would you not like to see a 49er Ravens Super Bowl?
Oh, I would love it. I love it. What was that? I think that was 2011, 2012 Super Bowl rematch when it was the Harbaugh Bowl. But those two guys, they went at it. I think it was a couple days after Thanksgiving or Christmas. When was that? They played pretty recently. Yeah, yeah. But a rematch, I mean, I think those are the two best teams in the NFL. The Ravens, you know, they're Lamar Jackson's on fire, but I'm excited to see what he can do because he has struggled in the playoffs.
It will be fun to see. All right, Landon, thanks so much. Great job, as always. And thank all of you for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.